Hello, come in. Coach Lisa, I'm going to bring you up. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Come on in. I am No BS Coach Julie. I'm here to work with you on sex and body image. So please, no, Coach Lisa is in the chat. Set your chat to everyone, and she will be typing in all caps. She's not yelling at you, as you know. She is literally just making sure her posts stand out. So, again, welcome. This is the body image and sex coaching call. It is a monthly call that we do. If you're new to NoBS, it's a monthly call that we do. You can talk about anything here. This is a safe place. We are all about inclusivity and open communication and conversation about sex and intimacy, how that relates to your weight loss journey and all the things. So, welcome. Happy to have you here. So, before we get coaching, right, if you would like to be coached, you can raise your hand. And, this call, we usually start out really asking people to raise the hands. So while I talk to you about pleasure, I want you to think about raising your hand. We all have work to do in this area too. And this is a shame-free, inclusive place to spend time. So, all right, let's spend a minute and talk about pleasure. When I was thinking about this particular call tonight, I was thinking a lot about pleasure in general and my private clients and how they think about pleasure. And oh, before I continue, I should say, if you have questions, you can put them in the Q&A. If you want to chat, you can chat in the chat. But I do not check the chat. Lisa will talk to you in the chat. So, any type of question you have, Q&A, please. Thank you. So, pleasure and what it means to be responsible for your own pleasure. Let me just ask you guys, do you believe that you are responsible for your own pleasure? You can emoji if you want. Do you even know what that means to be responsible for your own pleasure? Pleasure. So, okay, we got a little emoji and we got a couple yeses. Yes. So oftentimes when I work one-on-one with members on this topic, this is a question that they have. Like, what does that mean? My partner is responsible for my pleasure. And so being responsible for your own pleasure means really taking ownership of your own sexual satisfaction, your own sensual satisfaction. And like that means that in intimate encounters with your wife or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your lovers, it really involves recognizing that you have agency and autonomy over your own body and your sexual experience. And so actively engaging in activities and behaviors that bring you actual pleasure and fulfillment. And so there's some aspects of being responsible for your own pleasure that I want to talk to you about. The first one is self-awareness. So it's understanding what you truly desire. Like, what are your preferences? And what are your boundaries? And have, you take this ultimate responsibility for your own pleasure means that those things are very clear to you. This involves exploring your own body, getting to know your own sexual responses, what feels pleasurable through self-exploration or self-reflection. And look, I know I was a kid in the 70s. Not all of us were taught how to do this. And in fact, it is very common for women in particular to have been taught that touching their own body was somehow bad or dirty or shameful. So many of us grew up in an environment not knowing that we actually had autonomy over our own bodies and that we were entitled to pleasure, or even that like sexuality was supposed to be pleasurable. So one of the ways to really take responsibility for your pleasure is effective communication, first with yourself, then with your partners. And it's crucial for advocating for your own pleasure to express your needs and your desires. And that includes really like discussing what you enjoy, what you're actually comfortable with, what you're comfortable doing, what you don't really enjoy, communicating what you're curious about, maybe what your boundaries are or your limitations, but also knowing that no matter what you agree to do, at any point you can change your mind. And so, like being responsible for your pleasure also involves actively exploring different sensual and sexual activities, techniques, fantasies, discovering what brings you pleasure and arousal. And that might really require trying some new things, experimenting with different sensations, being open to new experiences. So, maybe engaging in self-stimulation, so that you can really learn what you like. That allows you to explore your own body, what feels good to you, experience like pleasure and satisfaction on your own terms. And then boundaries and consent, like respecting your own boundaries and honoring your own consent. That's mission critical. Like ensuring that your experience is pleasurable and positive, pleasurable and positive. Being responsible for that pleasure means prioritizing your own comfort, your own well-being, and only engaging in activities that feel safe and consensual and enjoyable to you, and terminating anything that doesn't. And you have a right to do that at any point. You can say yes a million times and say no, and no is no. So, okay, self-advocating, taking responsibility for your own pleasure. It involves advocating for yourself in sexual situations, asserting your needs and desires. This might involve speaking up, if something doesn't feel good, asking for what you want. Asking for change if you're uncomfortable or in the dynamic, anything that makes it better for you. And then, really, overall, it's empowering you to take an active role in your sexual experience, prioritizing your own satisfaction and well-being, cultivating a positive and fulfilling sexual relationship with yourself and with any partner you want to have. It's really about recognizing that your pleasure matters and you deserve to be a priority. So similar to weight loss, right? Like you matter for those of you that kind of, prioritize other people in your life. You matter. So, okay. Does anybody have any questions about pleasure and taking responsibility for their own pleasure? And I don't see any hands. Corinne always says, there's no hands, it's going to be a short call. Like, who wants to tell you can want to be coached? You can want to ask a question. You can want to just have a discussion about something. You can share something. What do you want to talk about when it comes to sex and body? And I know this is unique. Most of us haven't had a situation where we have free space to talk about this. So I saw someone in the chat say something about their pleasure. Let me see. Yes, Karen said, I was told good girls don't. However, I was never told what it was they don't. That's so interesting. I'm going to bring someone, Lily, up and talk about that a minute, Karen. So, Lily, I'm promoting you, and then I will talk about that. So, I get it. Me too, Karen. I was not taught the things that I wasn't actually supposed to be doing. Hi, Lily. One more second. This is so common. And so this is what taking autonomy is for ourselves, is like learning what that is now as adults if we don't fully understand like the whole picture. Lily, you can unmute. Great. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I don't hear you. Does everybody else hear Lily? Shoot.
Better? Anything?
Oh, we got a lot of positive sounds, and I have no sound. Uh-oh, you hear her, but I don't hear her. I'm having the troubles. Hi. One second. Let's see what's up with my sound. Apologies. I am having all the troubles. Hey, Coach Lisa. Can you come on camera for a minute and let me leave and come back? Because I'm having some sound problems.
Yes, I can. Let's see. There we go.
I can't hear you at all, but you're here. I'm going to go and come
You hear?
back and I'll be right back. Lily, I'll be
All
right
right.
back to you, but Coach Lisa can start a conversation with you. I'll be right back. Lisa, you're going to have to invite me back to the call.
We got you. This is how we roll here at NoBS, right?
Gotta roll with the punches. It doesn't matter how it's gonna happen.
No, it doesn't. Oh, actually, Lily, you're the host now. Well, that's interesting.
Oh no.
That's okay. Just don't leave us. So, how are you doing tonight?
I'm gonna be a little bit on the vulnerable side, so it's gonna be kind of interesting to see what kind of thoughts she has for me on this one. So to kind of give the rest of the call an idea of what's going on is I kind of posed this question on the last camp of saying I struggle with putting on lingerie for my husband. I have no problem being intimate. I have no problem asking for what I want. He really wants me to wear lingerie. When we first got married, right before we got married, I did a boudoir shoot and I was very uncomfortable doing it, but I was proud of myself. But since then, I've obviously had a kid and things have changed and up 100 pounds and then back down those 100 pounds. And even though I'm at the same weight that I was when we first got married and when I did that shoot, I am very uncomfortable with the idea of putting on lingerie, to the point where it finally got to the point where I was okay with actually going to a store and looking at stuff. But as soon as I put it on, I completely freeze. So, any idea of how to
Like
get
a
over
real
that?
nervous system reaction in putting on the lingerie. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were comfortable with anything close to lingerie?
No, not really. Like when we are intimate, all of the lights are off and stuff like that. But at the same time, no, the idea of basically I'll put it as putting myself in a cute little bow on display, not my thing. So I want to be able to do that for my husband, but I completely freeze up.
I have a feeling that th this is a great topic for a lot of people to hear. And I think you were saying, we were talking about that last time a bit, Coach Julie, just to catch you up as well. Can you hear us now?
Now, just this moment. Sorry about that, you guys. So I
Okay.
catch me up. Where are we at?
So to catch you up is I am completely freezing on wearing lingerie for my husband. A little
Oh.
backstory is that when we first got married, I was at the weight I am now, and I was able to do a boudoir shoot and everything like that. Very uncomfortable, but I did it. And since then, I gained 100 pounds and then 100 pounds back off. Obviously, I had a son. So the body has changed since, and I can be intimate with my husband. I can ask for what I want. He asks for what he wants. And this is what he really wants, is for me to wear lingerie. He is comfortable with how I look. I'm just not. I completely freeze up to the point where, like, I won't even step out of the bathroom if I even get it on.
Really? So you're willing to be naked for sex, but there's something about the lingerie that's different.
Yes, the I think part of it is the idea of being wrapped up in a little bow type thing is just not okay with me. Like it's very vulnerable at the idea of quote unquote presenting myself that I can't calm down enough to actually step out of the bathroom, let alone just complete fear that all of a sudden any kind of sexual energy that I had, gone.
That's fascinating. So, like, let's talk about the boudoir shoot. You
Okay.
liked it? You had fun?
Oh, I was scared out of my mind.
Okay, but you did it.
I did it. Yeah. Luckily, it was a lady that was doing it, and she talked me through the whole thing and calmed me down and made sure that everything was very tasteful because I was not very comfortable at all. Everything in the photos were definitely covered, to put it that way.
What kind of things did she say to talk you down to like calm you?
What she was talking about was like, tell me, how did you meet your husband? How did you know he was the one? Like focusing on the connection part instead of what was actually happening.
Yeah. Okay. And that worked.
Yeah, because it was only a half hour. And that
How long are you having sex with your husband?
was I've been having sex with my husband for 12 years, so
But like, is it longer than a half an hour at a time?
yes.
Okay. So this is so interesting because like when you're in a little bit more ideal body in your mind, you're a little more comfortable.
Yes.
Okay.
It's, I am the type where it's a lot more like my eyes are closed the entire time because I'm more of the feeling. I'm visuals aren't that big of a thing, but feeling everything, being able to feel him, he feels me, like that's what helps me. But the idea of standing there in front of my husband, like, hey, do you like this? Because I'm worried that he's not going to not like it, even though he's always told me that he likes my body.
Well, you're the one not liking it, right?
This is true. This is true.
So we know a few things. We know you're going to stand there in the lingerie if you do it, and
Yeah.
he's going to like what he sees, and you're not seeing yourself, but you're not going to like what you think about you in the lingerie.
That would be a good way of putting it, is that my mind chatter will just keep going
Yeah.
and I'll be able to turn it off.
Would you be willing to share with us what your mind chatter says?
Mind chatter says anywhere from this doesn't look right. It looks like a sausage casing that's been wrapped up with twine in a very bad Christmas roast to, wow, look at all of the rolls of cellulite. And yeah, I can't airbrush this live. To does this even look right? He's not even going to be hard by the time he's done seeing this, like all the things.
And yet, what's actually true?
That I can feel my heart pumping out of my chest,
Yes.
that I am shaking in my skin, and my husband's just sitting there saying, I love you, you look sexy.
Yeah. And is he like physically responding?
Yes, but I can't mentally get over the block.
Okay, let's talk about that. What do you think it takes to get over a mental block?
Hence, I'm talking
Exactly. That's a good
to
start. It,
you.
but what we know, even from the No BS work, is like to shift mindset, we have to practice thinking new things, but also while we're practicing thinking new things, we allow the feelings that we have. Like clearly, you're very uncomfortable. with it.
Yes.
That might not ever change.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. No, in fact, I'll even share with you. So, like, I very similar to you. I like the brain chatter and oh, she's mean. Oh, the brain chatter. It's terrible. It's terrible. But the truth is, my husband thinks I'm the hottest woman on the planet in all the sizes body, all the sizes I've been. And so, like, for the couple minutes of discomfort that I have, and it's terrible, the heat wave running through my body, and like all of the, like, does that sound semi-familiar?
Yes, I'm just thinking about it. I'm having all of those experiences right now. I feel like I'm
Yeah.
standing there in front of you right now.
I hear you. So yeah, it the thing is it doesn't actually have to change. Maybe over time you'll learn to change it, but what if it wasn't even required to change and you still could do the thing?
Okay. So basically, what you're telling me it is to try 2 minutes of Brave and go from there.
In a way, I am asking you to experiment with that. Yeah. Because what we know, this is just the story in your brain that's very real. It's your story, and the wave of all the feelings happens in your body. But it's a version of real because it's happening to you. But it's not a version of real also because he thinks totally different, and you're tagging all of this to him.
Okay.
You know how to do uncomfortable things and feel the fear and do it anyway. Like, give me an example of doing that. Like, you said you have a kid. Were you like super, like, whoa, giving birth or however you did all that, going to whatever? Like,
No.
were you like, that sounds fun?
No. Definitely my son came out 5 weeks early, so it was every mom I'd ever heard of had said, like, oh, I started crying and whatnot. I was in pure and utter shock of staring at my son, going, you're not supposed to be here yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My niece and nephew are from Kazakhstan. When my sister and her husband went to get them, they had never been to a country that, like, very few people spoke English, right? It was very, they were there 6 weeks. It was terrifying for them when they became parents, right? We know how to do hard things for things that are worth it. So let me ask you, do you
Okay.
want to be with your husband?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to offer him this thing that he asked for, which you don't have to want to do? Right? You don't have to want to do it, and you don't have to do it ever. I will never, like, nobody here hear me say she has to do this. She doesn't have to do it. Do you want to?
Yes.
Even if it's a little uncomfortable or a lot uncomfortable.
All right.
Because imagine you do it a few times and then it's a little less uncomfortable because it goes well. Oh, I'm with you about, like, you know, dental floss and sausage casing. Like, that's like you pretty much said, like, some things that go through my own head.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a woman who's really comfortable in dental floss and sausage casing?
No, I don't think so.
So I've thought about this a lot recently. Like Lizzo, the musician Lizzo, she's willing to wear the least amount of clothes possible in public and be like super confident about it.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to want to wear that in public. Neither do I, frankly. But it is possible to have any size human body and be in lingerie. And be neutral for yourself and allow him to, like, worship you. But do you want to?
I will be completely honest. There is 50% of me that's like, absolutely yes. And the other 50% percent of me is part of the scared of, oh boy.
Okay, so let's talk about what you could do about that. Could you imagine a way to get yourself a little bit more comfortable?
I am open to ideas. I have tried journaling. I have a mirror in my closet that I've tried putting on and seeing myself in that didn't work. So I am open to ideas.
Okay, stop there. You put it on and saw yourself in the mirror, and you said it didn't work. What did you think would happen, and what did you actually say to yourself?
So the whole scenario was I had three different types because in my forward-thinking brain, I was thinking, well, maybe if I try different colors and different styles, maybe there'll be something that I will feel comfortable in. In all three colors and styles, I put it on, I would put on whatever in my closet, and my eyes directly went to my thighs or my stomach or my arms and started pointing out every single flaw. And to the point where I was working myself up and I quickly ripped everything off and I was like, okay, I'll try the next one. Same thing. Third one, same thing, to the point where I just put on a regular t-shirt and yoga pants and said, we're done.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that with me. So this is the area of work, right? You had the right idea, trying them on and going to the mirror. But the strategy that your inner voice was going to say anything different than pinpointing the flaws and then like not having a plan for how you won't answer back didn't work, right? Because you didn't really have a plan of what to say to yourself. It's just like, I see these things, and then that's true. And so, like, I'm out of here. Get the yoga pants. Yeah. So, I want to give you the same exercise, but from a little different angle. So, I want you to pre-decide how you're going to talk to yourself. And look, this is not rainbows and daisies. This is not, I suddenly love you. You look amazing. No. Your inner voice is still going to be like, there's your thighs. They look like this. There's your arms. They look like that. That's normal. That doesn't change. Lots of women think that, regardless of the size of their body. It couldn't be more normal. So I want you to have a plan for how you want to respond back to that part of your brain. And so it could look something like this. And then I want you to come up with one that you think would work for you. So it might be like, oh yeah. That I notice like my body's flaws first out of the gate. Of course I do. Like that's what my brain does. It's okay. Like I'm used to doing that. And now I'm practicing believing that there's more to me than just my thighs, or there's more to me than my hanging arms, or there's more to me than my stomach roll. I'm learning to see all the versions of me right here, right now, in
Oh,
this.
I like that. I gotta write that down. Sorry, give me a second.
Yeah.
I'm learning. Say that again.
I'm learning to
Your
see all
love.
the versions of me. What else do I see? Like, sure. I noticed my thighs first, or my arms, or my stomach. Yes, I did. But what else do I see? I see this human that wants to have like intimate connection with her husband, that's willing to, like, this is his fantasy, that's willing to like offer him that even when I'm uncomfortable. And then find something that you like you have beautiful eyes. You might have your hair in a way that you really like. You might like how your boobs fit in that, whatever you're wearing. You might like that particular color on you. Be willing to stop and be like, I see all that shit. Yes. Fine. What else do I see?
So what you're telling me is what I usually tell myself before I get on the scale each week and what I attempt to write on my plan, I should probably be using for this scenario also.
Yes, Lily, yes, you are making the point that body image and sex and weight loss are just like so intertwined. These are the same concepts, just applied in different ways. Like you basically just see your body and you're like, it's a fact. Like my thighs look blank. It's like, it's not a fact. That's one thing your eyes can see, but your eyes could see a lot of things if you tell them to look deeper.
That makes sense.
Right now, I could do no clothes. I could do lingerie because, first, I believe my partner's really into me. And second, I believe that me thinking I'm the hottest thing on the planet is not required to get it on. The my like incredible orgasm that I will be having in about 30 minutes is worth the 2 minutes of discomfort.
Okay, so being quote unquote confident in the bedroom has nothing with basically thinking you're Margot Robbie.
That's right. It is like not required to give and receive pleasure. You can never like how you look. I don't think I'm some supermodel, but I know that I'm entitled to pleasure in this body and every body.
That makes me feel better.
You don't have to change your perception of yourself. But it's just like getting on the scale. Everything about weight loss is not about the pounds. Now, don't get me wrong. We all want to lose weight on the scale.
Yeah.
But like everything in life, there's a lot of things you do and a lot of things that change, and there's a lot of things to notice. I one time had a private client that lost like 20 inches, but really only, I think, in the time we worked together, lost about 18 pounds, but she lost 20 inches. She was back in clothes she hadn't worn in like 10 years. This is the same. It's like you can make progress towards your own pleasure and comfort and like never change your mindset about your body. You don't, it'd be nice to not reject your human body, but you don't have to look in the mirror and be like, I'm a sexy beast.
Sounds like I got some experimenting to do.
So you had a big sigh. What does that mean?
That's realizing that it's okay to not like everything that I see in the mirror, and it's okay to try some things and use some of the comments that I've been saying to myself in the mirror. All 90 pounds. I just never put two and two together that I should be using it outside of the scale.
Yeah. And this is that pre-work, like when we talk about like priming ourselves for sex and intimacy, some of that is like amping up the self-talk, doing things that feel good. You know, if there's a scent you love, if there's a bath product you love, if there's a hair, like I have this particular hair shine product that my spouse, every time I use it, he's like, oh my God, you smell delicious. I'm like, sure as shit. If it's a intimacy night, I'm spraying on the hair shine because like he always tells me how good it smells. It's like, okay, well, then I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So I'm willing to like go for it. So, okay, your assignment is what?
My assignment is to, for me, that I'm going to first start finding nice things to say to myself and find positives in what I see. Two is definitely have a new sticky note of I'm learning to love all versions of me. And third, that I plan on putting on my calendar for next Friday is go through the same scenario with the three different lingeries, but actually find positives in this time. And maybe in a month, I will actually make it out of the bathroom. I am not going to put that as the go ahead right now, but at least it'll be on the future.
Awesome. I love that. That sounds what's great about that, truly? It sounds realistic and doable. It doesn't sound like it, I don't think you love it, but you don't sound like you're dying.
Yes.
And
It
we're not
doesn't.
like forcing you to go out and do this for someone else at this point. This is all about you.
Yes, I appreciate you a lot.
I
Thank you.
appreciate you. If you need support, want to report in on how this is going, need help with how it goes, you know all the ways to find me, Ask Coaches, and emailing support, Facebook group, Julie Hanks. I am here for you, and so are we all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ah, so brave. Thank you. All right. All right, I have another hand. Karen, I'm going to promote you. I know there's a Q&A and I will get to it towards the end. Hi, Karen.
Hello, long time no talk.
I know you. And I have not followed the chat because I was really engaging with Lily, but I have seen that you guys have been chatting, so catch me up.
People seem to think that you can help me figure out what it even means to be sexy.
What it means to be sexy. Okay.
No, never felt it, never thought it, never even have considered it's a realm of anything I could ever be.
Okay. So let's definitely talk about it, but I just want to tell you right off the bat, there's like no pressure to be it or feel it. And it's also like, and we haven't talked about it, but there are people who are asexual that are like not interested in sex and that like that's okay too. Now, I happen to be a proponent of pleasure, but
I'm all for that.
yeah, okay. So,
It's the sexy, no. And
okay.
I know part of it is, again, all that thought work of the way I was raised. I had said that, my mom's sex talk, I think, guess it was a sex talk, was good girls don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, don't what?
Yeah.
And I mean, I can remember being really young, like maybe junior high, and she was talking about Raquel Welch and how she wore these horrible, nasty bras with the nipples cut out and how disgusting that was. And she was just a tramp. And, that's the kind of messages I had. So it was like, oh, so to even look like a woman is bad.
So what you're describing is like the influences that you had over like at a age where you were learning and growing and your brain was still growing, you had someone influencing and in a way sharing their biases with you that
Oh, yeah.
you then applied to your own life. And like you may not agree with her, but then they have limited how you see yourself or people in general.
Well, and also it was always nobody finds a fat woman attractive.
Okay.
So it was, the combination of, well, one, you can't even be attractive, let alone sexy, because you're fat.
Yeah.
And then the message of, and it's okay because you don't want to be, because then everybody will think you're a slut.
Yeah. So you got it on both ends. Like, what is and isn't sexy? And then, like, what a female, like, if you are into sex, you're a slut. So you've got all those biases running around in there. Let me ask you this, which I think is maybe the most important question I could ask you. What do you want sexy to mean to you?
I think a combination of confidence, but also able to appreciate what you look like.
Okay. I love that. Right? Because it kind of is a state of mind, really. Like
Oh,
there's no rule book in the world about what sexy is. And we know in our society there's a lot of like societal standards around it, but in
yeah.
other societies, there's different rules.
Oh,
Like,
yeah. I mean, if I was put in the right time period, I'd be worshipped for.
well, and
Yeah.
there's cultures today that
Well, yeah,
like
that.
yeah, that revere different shape women or all different ways of being a human. But the truth is we get to define it for ourselves. So if you are, let's say you want to, do you want to learn how to see your sexiness? Do you think that's possible? Excuse me.
I don't think it's possible, but I'm curious about it. I mean, at one point, I'm kind of going, well, I was with my boyfriend for 20 years, never once felt sexy. I mean, we still had plenty of pleasure and fun.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, he's deceased. I'm single. I'm not looking, but I think there's a power in sexiness, maybe.
Yeah.
In the attitude and the confidence and the way maybe you carry yourself. And I think I would like that.
Okay. So attitude, confidence, and the way you carry yourself. Are those qualities of any other feelings you ever have in life?
Yeah.
Like what?
Just the things I've overcome and accomplished. Between recovering from my car crash and all the things that I've changed in my year here in No BS and things at work where I found my confidence and see that I can look at and say, okay, that's confidence, yeah, but sexy.
Well, why not?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if I even fully still grasp what I even think of as sexy. I can't even think of any women like role models where I go, yeah, she's sexy.
Well, so, okay, I'll give you one of mine and we'll talk about it. So, one female that I think is just insanely sexy is Queen Latifah. And I think she has a really beautiful, like, way of being. She has, like, this incredible posture and poise, but, like, this really interesting, like, smirk and, like, twinkle in her eye. But, like, she holds her body in a really confident way. And there's something about all of that together that I think is really delicious.
See, and I like that. I like that thought.
Right? That's how I define it to me is like all of those pieces together make me just kind of like feel something. And so it's like that's Julie version of defining it, but what's Karen version of defining it?
When you're talking about Queen Latifah, then my mind went to Helen Mirren, who's like older and confident and is completely out of fucks to give.
Yes. That's
And
interesting.
I don't know that I would use the word sexy as much as, well, I guess kind of, in a way, it's kind of like, hot damn.
Yeah, but I just want to play with that for a minute. Like, I'm going to leave off the older people get to define that for themselves, but confident and no fucks to give sounds a lot like somebody I know.
I'm trying to get there.
Well, I just want you to see, like, you're like X amount of distance from there, right? Like, you're creating no fucks to give. you're creating your confidence, you're like stepping into your stride. Like, what if you just haven't ever thought of yourself in a way and been willing to experiment with labeling it as sexy? What if you're missing the point that, like, legitimately you get to decide, you get to define it how you want to, and you've just never practiced thinking about yourself that way? Sexy can be a feeling in your body, but it also can be a mindset you have.
Yeah, because I'm thinking even now there are things like I've never worn red lipstick because, whores wear red lipstick.
Yeah, okay, but let me ask you this. So, want to be a whore? How fun could that be?
Yeah, I kind of,
Like,
I'm looking at the, God, it would kind of feel good to just be bold just on my own level.
right, like be bold for bold's sake, for you.
Yeah. And even if it's just me thinking it's bold and anybody else going, whatever.
But like, you can wear your red lipstick around the house and be like, I'm being bold.
Yeah.
Like, the sexiest thing I've ever done in my entire life, we have this like I don't know what it's called. It's a like an egg that has all these digital lights that shine all over the room 360. And one night, I was dancing around in this crazy light, naked, in the middle of having sex with my husband, and I felt so profoundly powerful. And at the time, it was like all 310 pounds of me. And he still talks about it. He's just like, you, I've never seen you so just unabashedly free. I was
And
not.
probably the confidence.
Right. I wasn't in my head. I wasn't thinking about it anymore. The pleasure was already happening. I was loose. My brain had turned off on all the drama and was really focused on where we were at. And I love those lights. I just want you to know, like, you get to define it for you, right? For me, the twinkle lights did something. That's
Yeah, and I've never. I mean, I had certain situations where I probably felt like the power in the sexual encounter. But like that whole mental idea of trying to be the seductress or something, like, oh my
yeah.
God, no.
That's because you're thinking about it in terms of your partner at the time, right?
Yeah.
What we miss is like we make that part of us all about the partner. We think it exists because of the partner. And what we're talking about right here is you get to have that exist for you.
Yeah, I
You
really
wear
need to
the.
figure out what it is.
Well, I would love to see you explore that. Right? Like your first assignment is wear the red lipstick for you and look at yourself in the mirror and have a conversation. Be your own inner whore, so to speak. Like, take back that word. Why is this bad? Why is being a woman who
Well,
likes sex and wears red lipstick something negative?
yeah, and I, yeah. And I'm seeing where, again, with the messages I always had, some of them I just saw as being told because of my weight, don't wear this, don't do that,
Yeah.
don't show your skin. And I wonder with some of it too, if it was her way of suppressing any, dubious attention.
Yes. And so now you've practiced all that. And now it's like, okay, cool. I'm just imagine sitting here. I'm just going to set that aside over here. It can all exist. I'm not changing any of it. But I'm also not paying attention to it for a few minutes. And now I'm going to try paying attention to this and experimenting with this. And this is right here next to me, so it's in reach. If I need to pull on my old mindset, I can. It's right there. I'm safe. But like, I'm going to experiment with a different part of me and see what happens. All right, that's your assignment. And I know where to find you.
Yes, you do. Yeah, I'm gonna go looking for some red lipstick. I don't even own red lipstick.
Well, I think you can find some.
Yeah, I guess I'm going shopping tomorrow.
Okay, yes. I can't wait to see a picture of you in your red lipstick or come on a call in your red lipstick.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna work on finding out who sexy, empowered, no fucks to give Karen is.
Yes, amen, sister. All right, thank
And if you
you.
can't find me, it's because I'm whoring around.
Yes. I love it. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Jen, I'm going to bring you up. And I'm going to answer the anonymous question while you're coming up, Jen. So I use food for pleasure in place of sex. No sex in marriage. Gain so much weight. How do I change this? Wonderful man, no sex because of medication. Yeah. So there's sex and then there's intercourse. And medication oftentimes means no intercourse, but it doesn't mean it has to be no sex. And you certainly don't have to know sex with yourself, anonymous asker. So I would urge you to find ways of reconnecting with your own body and your own pleasure. And then as you awaken your own body, then you can talk about this with a partner and see like what sex and intimacy is possible with them. It may not be intercourse because of medication, but it might be possible, but there's something. And if you want some tools and techniques, we can talk about those and ask coaches. I can give you some actual resources, but I want you to know like, no sex with a partner doesn't mean it has to be no sex with yourself. So, Jen, hi.
It helps if I unmute.
Okay, that was perfect. Thank you. What are you working on?
So I have so many questions, but I'm going to try to keep it just to one that is something that's going to be going on tomorrow night. So the slight background, my fiance and I, we are involved in like kink scenes and lifestyle and ethically non-monogamous. So we've kind of got that thing going on. But we kind of go, it's like he lives about 2 hours away, so we only see each other on weekends. And we do these things occasionally when we have time to do it, right? So I tend to get really socially anxious before these things happen, right? And I get really worked up. And sometimes I can chill myself out, like when we get there, but sometimes it will like I'll just blow up into like full on like panic tier mode. Like I'll start getting that mean girl going in my head, to like comparing myself to everyone else that's there and all that. And I just have this like running thought in my head all the time that I don't know how to work. It's like because I get in that mode of like nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I'm not very interesting, and I tend to just be a wallflower, right? And so which is fine if just the two of us are going to be playing together that night and that sort of thing. But if we're trying to go and like meet other people and expand our network and stuff, that doesn't work very well. So basically, I'm just looking for advice on like, are there things that I can work on to like just get out of my own head getting there? I mean, body image is definitely part of it, and I think a lot of the things that people have been talking about today will apply. So I think I can take a lot of that with me. I will say the one other thing though that runs into me is, I feel like sometimes if I try to get over the body image stuff, I do it by like putting on like an act of like it feels like an act of like this is who I am. I used to perform burlesque. Here's like a little thing, and so I have like this persona that I can kind of put on, but it doesn't feel genuine, and I feel like I'm kind of like emotionally disconnected from people and folks. So, if there's like other ways to get past that as well, so there's
Yeah,
kind of a lot going on there. So.
for sure.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is like really, it's the build up to when you go to a play party or something like that, that you want to be like doing some grounding work throughout your day and also like some pre-planning. So, my recommendation, there's a few things to work on, and let's talk about them. The first would be like to truly. Before you have something scheduled. So, like if you have something scheduled, you said tomorrow?
Yeah, we're supposed to go. It's a
Yeah.
game night, so I thought that would be a good way to like break the ice with people, right? And have fun and, so.
Yeah. So that's like, one of the things I would recommend in that circumstance is have like, a half a dozen really interesting questions. And since you're in the scene, there's a lot of possibilities for like fun and titillating questions you could ask people, but also have prepared your own answers for those questions so that you already like have an idea what you want to share and like conversations, right? So that would be just like a written preparation. So set that aside because that may not work for tomorrow, but it would work for the future, right? Because tomorrow's tomorrow. But let's talk about just getting grounded, right? Have you ever done any grounding techniques?
A little bit, like I'm kind of into the whole activating your parasympathetic nervous system, like that kind of stuff. So
Yeah.
I never really thought about doing it before going to a club though, so that's a good idea.
Yeah. So grounding, I'm just going to say it for everyone else listening. Grounding is like a tool to use that helps you stay connected to like the present moment. It can help you reduce feelings of anxiety or even dissociation or overwhelm. But then it really helps you reduce stress and helps you not focus too far in the past and also not go too far in the future and really like center in on this moment. And in this case, you might do some grounding exercises throughout the day in preparation for going to the party. And so I have a list of like a bunch that Lisa composed for this call, but I'm going to give you a couple right now. So we all know about deep breathing and like breathing in and counting. So I'm not going to give you the classic breathing, but there's a couple that work for me. And particularly if I'm going to be in like an environment where I have a story to myself that I'm less interesting than these people or some of the things you just described, it's like there's a 5-4-3-2-1 technique where you identify and describe five things you can visually see, four things that you can touch right in your immediate vicinity, three things you can hear, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste. And by the time you've done that exercise, you're almost like anchoring yourself to the immediate environment. And for you in preparation, it's not really the play party part of it that sounds nerve-wracking to you. You're good with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like grounding yourself and centering like yourself with your own worth. And you can do that like with mindful observation too, like choosing an object in the room and study it closely. Like I have a succulent plant right here, and I can see like some of the leaves have almost like wrinkles, like an old lady, and some of them are bright green because they're new. And like a couple of them are orange, and those are like really old petals, and I bet they're going to come off. And I can see like the soil looks really cracky, so maybe it is time to water it. But like I like hone in on it, it's right out of my sight, like computer sight. And I can really like center in on every facet of it. And it really like pushes out all the noise and centers your focus. What do you think about trying a technique like that?
I think that makes a lot of sense because I actually do that during sex sometimes when my mind starts going boop, boop, boop.
Yes,
I
me
never,
too.
but to use it in like social situations makes a
Yeah.
lot of sense
And
too.
using that with sex is such a great example of like you can do that with the environment of what a partner's doing, but you can also do it with like I sometimes notice like if I'm extremely stimulated, the hairs on my arms, everything becomes very sensitive. And I kind of become very aware of like the sensations of like the little hairs on my body. And I just let my brain like hone in on just the little hair follicles on my body. And then the next thing you know, the chatter is gone and I'm back in that pleasure. So that the concept of this works on a bunch of levels, not just in conversation. But I also really do think you have this story, Jen, of like, I'm less interesting. How is this just total bullshit?
I don't know. I think part of it is my mind goes blank a lot. And so that happens a lot. And it does happen. I have a history of that happening.
Yeah.
It happens in meetings at work and stuff too. So I get nervous that if I start talking to people, I'm gonna blank out in the middle of things. And that's kind of part of that. Like, she's not very interesting. Don't talk because you're gonna ooh, just lose the thread.
So this, I think, would be good for you to practice, right? Practice, come up with like some topics specific to the environment you're going to be in and practice them. I mean, literally, practice the conversation in your head. Practice reminding yourself you're no less interesting than anyone else. No one else is more interesting than you. They have interesting qualities and probably boring qualities, and so do you. And I would say, when we talk about having grace and no BS, this is a perfect moment to just like have a little grace for yourself. Like, meeting new people is hard. Meeting new people at a sex party, I can tell you from experience, it's hard. Right?
Yeah, there's
Everybody's
so many like other layers going on. It's not just
yeah.
like, hey, how's it going? You know, there's
Everybody's uncomfortable, even when you're not, even when you're an exhibitionist and you're excited to be there, meeting new people is still unique in that environment.
sure.
So being able to say to yourself, like, okay, sure, at work, I'm nervous or I drop words or whatever it is. Yes. And of course, I'm going to do that here then. So, like, how can I plan ahead for like some catch-all statements? Like, the worst case scenario is like, I'm going to ask really great questions to get people talking. And then while they're talking, I'm going to really hone in on what they're saying and really listen, which will ground me in the moment. And like, the one thing I do want to encourage you to do, unless you're role playing, is not adopt that acting persona, right? Because it's like so not what you're about. If you're doing this because you guys like doing it, the persona is not going to help you expand your network, make true friends,
Right.
right? It's just going to read really fake.
Yeah.
So letting the persona go and just like you being you. A little clumsy is so much better than like adopting a fake persona and then not understanding why you're making connections, why you're not making connections. Want to try some grounding? Yeah. Okay. Good. So do that. Pre-plan for conversation, especially when there's a theme. Like tomorrow night's great. It's game night. Like come up with a good game, a couple of good gaming questions. Okay. Reach out to me if you need more support. Let me know how it's going.
No, I feel more excited than nervous now, so that's good. That's a good thing.
Oh, good. I'm
There,
so happy.
I'll use that mind trick too, now too. What do they say? You don't.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
nervous. I'm excited.
good. Awesome. Well, have a lot of fun. I'm excited for you.
Cool. All right. Thank
Thank
you.
you for raising your hand. Thank you. All right. Well, we have come to an end of the call. I have one question I'm going to answer. And that is Lori, as a 56-year-old, quote unquote, prude, it's painful. I'm not sure to have enjoyable intercourse. Married 28 years. Okay, Lori. The first thing is making sure that there isn't something medically going on that's causing you physical pain during intercourse. That would be talking to your doctor, your own primary care gynecologist, finding a doctor that specializes in sex, finding a doctor that specializes in hormone stuff, menopause. You didn't say you were in menopause. So ruling out anything medical. And then truly my recommendation to you said you were prude. I get it. But my recommendation to you would be to explore with yourself a little bit. Because the thing about pain is like, once you know there's nothing medically wrong, then it just becomes, well, what works for my body? And if you aren't willing to kind of figure it out a little bit, then you're never gonna know. And I'm gonna bring up my puppet. So I have, this is a female vulva. And of course, this is the clitoral knob. But if you remove the front of the vulva, this is what the actual clitoris looks like, right? Well, there are hundreds and hundreds of nerve endings down the sides of your vulva on both sides. And sometimes women that have pain during penetration and there isn't something medically wrong, when they stimulate this outside of the vulva for anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes, maybe with vibrator or if you're partnered with hand or mouth, but vibrator works really good. You find that actually, like the response inside your body is a little bit different. And sometimes that external stimulation, where you're not going directly to the knob of the clitoris, can be really stimulating. But the only way you're going to know is if you're willing to experiment a little bit with it. And so I really would recommend being willing to just touch your own body enough to see what happens for you, and giving yourself permission from love and acceptance that, like, your investment in doing that is investing in your future partnership with your spouse. So that's what I have to say about that. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I appreciate all of you. Coach Lisa, thanks for pinch hitting for me while I had no sound. And everyone, have a great night. Thanks. Bye now.